Okay, so we are going to dive in pretty hot and heavy today. Make sure you have a little room next to you to lay out your stuff because we will be using your markers and that sort of thing. I want to say one thing before we get started. I'm not sure the right way to say this, so I'm just going to say it. I was not really a stellar student. So I don't want anyone looking up here and going, oh, she's a biblical scholar. I am not. I am not that really. I got D's and C's, a couple B's. I don't know if I ever got an A. I just was not a great student. So if you're sitting here thinking that I'm in some way this masterful, like, person who can learn, and you're wrong, okay? I'm an average, ordinary person like anybody else. However, I have an amazing teacher, and that is the Holy Spirit. So the only reason that I have learned about him or anything about the Bible is because he has taught me. And I want that to be your guiding force along the way. It does not matter how smart you are, what kind of student you are, what type of learner you are. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what you are, and he desires for you to know God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so he will teach you in exactly the right way. So I encourage you to press on. Like I said last week, you're probably going to run up against some times where you're frustrated, not sure if you're doing the colors right and the highlighting right and the underlining right. And I want you just to press forward. Just stop in those moments and just tell the Lord you're frustrated and ask him to help you. And he will help you along the way. Okay, so first thing, I think one of the most important things to understanding the Bible is understanding the timeline of the Bible. When what happened? Did Noah come before Elisha? Those kinds of things are going to help you. If Elisha was a prophet, was he a prophet to the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom? All of those things are going to help you. Even in church, as you come for Pastor Dave's messages or anything that you're listening to on the radio, if you can think about in the timeline, okay, this happened after the flood, or this happened after the Babylonian exile, it's going to help you understand context of what you're reading and help you draw from that experience to know, okay, this, they could have been impacted by this or that, okay? So there are timelines in your notebook. You should have a red piece of paper right in front of where the timelines start. If you don't, it is page 119. So what I have done for years, whenever I study the Bible or whenever I'm in church, I take and figure out where did this happen in the Bible. It's the first thing that I do. So let me go over these timelines real quick. I don't have time to do detailed with you, but what I encourage you to do, so say your kids came to church and they learned about Joseph and the coat of many colors. I encourage you to start working even with your kids and say, okay, let's figure out what that happened. What happened first? Creation, Adam and Eve, the fall, the garden was shut, Cain and Abel, and then Seth was the other brother we don't hear about very much. The world grew increasingly evil, and then you have the flood and Noah. Then you would have the Ice Age after that, and the world repopulates, the Tower of Babel, where the nations were split apart. Then we believe Job, he falls in there somewhere, we're not exactly sure. Then we have the call of Abraham to start this nation of Israel so that the world would see what it would look like to serve God. And then after Abraham, he has a son, Ishmael, with Hagar, and then he has Isaac with Sarah. And you're just going to go through one to an order until you get to Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. The youngest and favorite was Joseph. He was sold by his brothers. And there you go. I do it every single time. Now, with doing that every single time, I added a little more detail to this timeline for you girls. But I have a timeline memorized in my head. So, and my girls have it memorized too, because we just do it over and over and over and over again. So I encourage you, take the time to flip back here, find out where the passage takes place on your timelines. So this first timeline is going to take you through where the kingdom splits. So after Solomon's reign, we had Israel to the north and Judah to the south. This timeline takes you to there. The next timeline in your book, if you turn the page, is going to show you Israel to the north. They were around for 209 years before they were taken out by the Assyrian army. It's going to show you on the right what prophets prophesied to the northern kingdom. Okay? You go to the next one, that's going to show you the southern kingdom. What happened with them? They were around for 345 years before Babylon came and took them into captivity. It's also going to list the kings and queens of that time with the years that they reigned. And again, all of the prophets and when they prophesied in the southern kingdom. Okay? At the end, you'll see carried off to Babylon for 70 years. The next timeline, page 122, is the Babylonian captivity. It was a little hard to find information on this one, so it's not quite as detailed. But that'll give you an idea of what happened during those 70 years. Up until, this doesn't just cover the 70 years, I apologize. This comes afterwards as well. So you'll see kind of halfway down the page where the temple is completed back in Jerusalem. The wall is rebuilt. That would have been the last study you guys did in Nehemiah. And then we have God silent for 400 years. And then you have some world history information in here. This is when Alexander the Great came and conquered the Persians, etc. This is when, right before Jesus was born, you would have had Cleopatra. So that's super fun to add world history into that and see what was going on in other parts of the world. Page 123 is going to be a New Testament timeline. So you go down the first column and then up and down the second column and then up and down. After you finish middle of the second column with John on the island of Patmos writing Revelation, it's going to show what happened between then and then also what's still to come that hasn't happened. So take you all the way up to eternity. Then one more timeline, I think. Next page, 124. This is an estimated order of Jesus' ministry. It's very hard to tell for sure if it's exact, but when you compare the four Gospels, this is kind of as close as I could get. So it's just to kind of help you kind of figure out what went. Hold it lightly, okay? Because it doesn't say on this date or this date or this date, but it should help you kind of figure out the basic timeline. And then the last one is a close, detailed look at the final week of Jesus' earthly ministry. Okay, so use those timelines as you're doing your study each week and as you're sitting with the pastor in here to figure out where that's taking place. Okay, so that's the timelines. I want you to go ahead and turn to page 5 in your notebooks. So today we're going to go over the most basic steps of this method, where I began. If you were here last week, I talked about how I wanted to find out the true character of who God was and what he was asking for me in response to who he is. Okay? So I began with two colors. So here's what you're going to do. When you sit down to do your Bible study this week, you're going to gather your stuff. You're going to need your notebook. If you were doing something separately, your Bible, a journal, a blue and a green highlighter, and a pen. And a journal, okay? Gather those things. Second step, always pray. Don't even bother. If you're not going to pray, just go clean out your fridge. There's no reason to be here. I mean, you have to stop and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. We cannot understand the word if we don't have the Holy Spirit leading us and teaching us. So that has to happen. And sometimes I get just so excited I forget. But I'm always kind of, there's like a little knock on my heart going, hello? Oh, wait, stop, pray. Go do it. It's very, very important. So then step 3, whatever passage you're doing, today we're going to be doing 2 Timothy chapter 1. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to find out some background information. Who the author is, when it was written, who it was written to, and what the purpose was for writing that. Then you're going to read the entire passage, top to bottom for context. Then you're going to go back with your highlighters, and you're going to start highlighting. You're going to go phrase by phrase, and you're going to determine, does this tell me something about God? Does this tell me something that I should be doing? And the answer might be no to both of those, so you leave it blank. Not every single word's going to be highlighted, okay? If it tells you something about God, something about him, about his character, that he's faithful, something about what he's going to do in the future, something that he's done in the past, or something that he's ultimately responsible for, that's going to be highlighted in blue. In green, you're looking for things that you are being asked to do or something asked of you. If it says, you know, you are a sinner, you don't highlight that in green. That's just a statement of fact. You are a sinner. What you're looking for is things that the Lord is asking us to do in response to his love for us, okay? Those will be highlighted in green. Then after you've done that, you want to go back and look, were there any words in the passage that you want more clarity on? You just go back and you're going to circle them, and then you're going to look them up later to see if they give you deeper understanding of the passage. From there, you're going to take all your highlighted items and you're going to enter them into columns in your journals when you're at home. We've provided them for you in your homework. Now, I know there's some people that are type A and they're going to freak out if they have a blank not filled. It's okay. When I wrote mine, I may have put, you know, everything on a separate line and you put two things on the same line. So just breathe. It's okay. It's okay. So it's all right. Just don't freak out when you see boxes and charts. We just put it in there for you to kind of help guide you. When you get to the other side and you're doing it in your journal, you get to decide how many lines there are. Okay? So don't let that trip you up. We're going to have a God column on one side, and we're going to have a me column on the other side, and we're going to write all those things in. Now, after we've written those in and we've looked up all of our words, we're going to go back and we're going to read through the God column, and then we're going to read through the me column. And then we're going to start praying about what have I learned and how would the Lord ask me to apply this to my life today? And we're going to write application. It's very important that you don't skip this step. And it is the step most people skip. I don't know if we think, oh, I'll remember or what. But really take this time to sit quietly with the Lord after your study and pray and write an application. Oftentimes it's in the form of a prayer for me. But take that time to really, it's kind of where the intimacy happens in the study time. So don't skip that part. All right. Go ahead and turn the page. We're going to start off today with just some practicing. How do we do this highlighting? So go ahead and grab your green and your blue highlighters. Now, these highlighters that you have are made for Bibles. They're made for that really thin paper. They're not made for the paper in your notebooks. So a light hand, okay? Really light. They're wax. If you push too hard, you're going to break wax off on your books. So just a light touch is all you need. All right, we're going to practice on Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And I'm going to show you some different ways to figure out how to highlight what color. All right, so let's first read the passage. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom may be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Okay, so the first way to figure out how to highlight would be to help ask some questions. So if we look at Galatians 1 through 2. Now, I'm going to ask you to answer back to me, okay? We're going to give and take here. What is through Jesus Christ and not men in verse 1? His being what? An apostle. Okay, so that first answer would be an apostle. And if I don't spell things right, you're just going to overlook it. Okay? Because to go back, that's not right. I'm not going back. That's too much time. Okay, so if it is through Jesus Christ and it is something Jesus Christ did, What color should it be highlighted? It should be blue. Okay, now, who raised him from the dead? Okay, does everybody have a homework insert? If you need one, raise your hand real high. Okay, does everyone have a schedule of the study in the front? Okay. All right. So I'm sorry. Not verse two. We're still in verse one. Okay. Who raised Jesus from the dead? God the Father. So it should be highlighted in what color? Blue as well. Now, in verse two, all the brethren who are with me. Does this tell us anything about God, or is there an example for us to follow? No, for both, right? So we would leave it what? We leave it blank. Okay, verse 3. What is from God the Father? Grace and peace. So it should be highlighted in? Talk louder, I can't hear you. Blue, there we go. And is God the Father telling us something about who God is? What do you think? It's yes, because it's telling us that he is our Father. Okay, so that is giving us information about God. So it should be highlighted in what color? Blue. All right. Is our Lord Jesus Christ telling us something about Jesus? Exactly, yes. It's telling us that he is our Lord, and it's telling us that he is Christ or the Messiah. So what color should that be? Blue again. All right, looking at verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins? Jesus. And is this something that he's done for us? Yes, so it should be highlighted in, oh, you guys are so good. It should be highlighted in blue. Who wants to deliver us from this evil age? Okay, Jesus. Is this something that God is going to do? So it should be highlighted in what color? Blue again. Now, whose will is it that we be delivered? God the Father. Does this tell us something about God? Yes, it reveals something about his will. So it should be highlighted in blue. To whom is the glory to be given? Okay, God. And who is to give glory to God? Us. Is this an example to follow? Yes. So it should be green. So just look at those few verses. How much of it's about God and how much of it's about you? So in light of all of those things that he's done, can you give him glory? That seems like a pretty easy task, right? All right. Now, another way to help is to replace... Oh, we're going to go back to grammar school, ladies. We're going to replace pronouns with the proper antecedents to bring clarity. Some of you just passed out. It's going to be okay. A refresher course. If I say, he is a farmer, who is he? A farmer, okay? Farmer is the antecedent for the pronoun he. So all we're trying to figure out is, who is or what is that pronoun representing, okay? So when we look at Galatians 1:6, and it says, I marvel. Who is marveling? Paul. That you are turning away. Who's turning away? Okay. Or believers in general, you could put. Are turning away from him. Who is him? Jesus. And that should be who called you And so who's you there? Believers again, good. Into the grace of Christ, into a different gospel. So is Paul's marveling an example we should follow? Not necessarily. I mean, it's really speaking to his personal circumstance there. I guess we could marvel at the world, but is it an example to follow? I'm not sure. I'm going to go with no. So I'm going to leave it blank. Is turning away from the gospel of Christ an example we should follow? Definitely not. So it is not highlighted in green. Even though it's about people in general, it's not an example to follow, so it should not be green. Is God calling sinners into the grace of Christ? Yes. So what color should it be highlighted? Blue. Good job. All right. Moving on to Galatians 1:7. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, what is the antecedent for the pronoun which? Which is not another. What's he talking about? Yes, the gospel. What is the antecedent for the pronoun another? Which is not another. Another gospel. Yep, gospel again. Who are the some in this verse? But there are some who trouble you. False teachers. Good. And who is the you in this verse? Who trouble you? It would be the believers again. Yep. Oh my goodness. Justin Bieber's coming up here. Okay. There we go. So now if you plug in those antecedents and reread it, now you have this different gospel is not another gospel, but there are false teachers who are perverting the gospel of Christ, and that is causing trouble for the believers. So by doing that, we get a little bit more clarity of what the verse is trying to say. So now we can start answering our questions. Does this verse say anything about God, something he has done or something he's going to do? No. Does this verse give any examples for us to follow? The answer is no. Now, what is of Christ? Okay, so that is telling us something about Christ, that he has given the gospel. So that's the only thing that should be highlighted in this verse, and it should be highlighted in what color? Blue. All right, clear as mud? Okay, now we're going to do it for real this time. Well, that wasn't for real, but you know what I'm saying. All right, so step one, turn the page. We have our stuff we need. We've already prayed, and we've asked the Spirit. Now, we're going to do 2 Timothy chapter 1. So the next thing we have to do is find out who wrote 2 Timothy. For the course, for the sake of this study, I'm going to assume you don't know. Many of you probably do. However, how do we find this information if we don't know? Really, two main ways. In the front of the book, in your Bible, it might say. It might have some information that has all of this for you. That's super convenient if it does. If it does not say, you can go, and we're going to try it. We're going to see how the website works for us. Okay. We're going to go out of this. We're going to go on to Safari, and we're going to put in the website, gotquestions.org. Oh, it's right there. Praise the Lord. Now, in this search box, all you have to do is put the name of the book you're curious about. Hit search. Oh, come on. Well, it might not work because we do have connection problems. And hear me try one more time. If it doesn't work. Okay, it's not going to work. What would have come up is several different articles. One of the articles, just go down the list, you're going to look for the one that says Bible survey. You click on that and it's going to have all this information that you're looking for. So I will tell you what it would have said. The author is Paul. And it was written to Timothy. It was written in 67 AD. And the purpose, Paul's in prison. This is said to be his final words. And his purpose for writing was to perseverance in faith. I said I wasn't going to correct. I'm not correcting. Okay. Now, once you have that part, we're going to read the entire passage from top to bottom. Okay, so Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my fathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that's in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it is also in you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which was given to you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel, according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ before time began, and has now been revealed in the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Tom and Phil. The Lord grant mercy to the household of John, for he has often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very vigorously, and he found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he has ministered to me at Ephesus. Okay, I just replaced those names because they were too hard. All right? Okay, so now we're going to do our highlighting of this text, and it's going to be super fun. Okay, so looking at the first verse, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. What does this tell us? What do you think it should be highlighted in? Should be blue, because Paul is an apostle, because that was the will of God. Does that make sense to everybody? Now the next phrase, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, does that tell us anything about God? Anything he's going to do, anything he's done? It does. It tells us that there is a promise of life in Jesus Christ. So that should be blue. What's that?
Somebody just didn't get journals.
Okay, if you didn't get a journal, go ahead and raise your hand. All right, verse 2. To Timothy, a beloved son. Anything? We leave that blank. It doesn't tell us, and it's not an example to follow. It doesn't tell us anything about Jesus. Now, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. The whole thing is blue. Because grace and peace are given by God, it tells us that God is our Father, and it tells us that Jesus is our Lord and our Christ. I thank God. We should do with that? Green. That's an example to follow. We should always be thanking God. Whom I serve with a pure conscience. green. That's an example for us to follow. We should also be serving the Lord with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. Leave it blank, nothing. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day. There's an example in there, right? We should be praying for other believers. Absolutely. Put that in green. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. What do you think? I think you could go either way. I think you could say, okay, I should be mindful of other believers' tears and sorrowful for them. Or you could look at this and say, this is really specific to Paul and Timothy's relationship. I left it blank, but it would be completely appropriate if you saw that as an example to follow to do it in green, okay? So it's not going to be, this is the correct way to highlight a passage, and that is it. You're going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if he places that on your heart, if he wants to remind you to be more compassionate, to have more empathy, then you should highlight that in green. It did not stand out to me when I went through. I'm not right and you're wrong. You're not wrong and I'm right. Or either way, if I said that wrong, just, you know, fix it in your minds. Okay? So next part, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. What do you think? Leave that one blank. It just has to do with his personal relationship. Oh my, that was fun. Hold on. Okay. One moment. There may be a few technical difficulties. Oh my. The people online right now are like, what's happening? Okay. There we go. The Lord is gracious. Okay. Verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. That is green because it is an example for us to follow. So I am just going to put stir up the gift. Now, I haven't tried this on this little device, but we're going to try it. But what about the gift of God? What color should that be? That should be blue. So oftentimes you'll have things where you have to double highlight. Let's see if this lets me double highlight. It did. So I'm going to go right over the gift and then of God in blue, which is in you through the laying on of hands. Now, Timothy was a pastor, so when he became a pastor, they laid hands on him to make him a pastor. So that isn't necessarily going to apply to our gifts, right? We can have gifts without a laying on of hands. So I'm going to leave that part blank. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That whole thing is going to be blue. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Green. Yep, that's an example for us to follow. Nor of me, his prisoner. I think that should all be green because when there are people that are suffering for Christ, we should not be ashamed of them, right? We shouldn't turn our back on them like the people in Asia did. Okay, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel. What do you think? Green. That's going to be an example to follow. Now, according to the power of God, that's blue. So the only way we're able to share in the sufferings is because God will give us the power to do that. Now, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling? Blue. That is about God. He's done that. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ before time began. All of that is blue, right? Now, I'm not going to put not according to my works, but I'm going to pick up at according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. All of that in blue. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. That also is going to be blue because it was revealed in Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. All blue, because he did the whole thing. To which I was appointed a preacher. Now, who appointed Paul? Jesus. So, I was appointed should be in blue. Now, we've all been appointed to something, but we have a choice whether we do it or not. So, preacher, apostle, and teacher of the Gentiles, whatever our thing that we've been appointed to, that should be in green because we, like Paul, should do what God has called us to do. Make sense? Okay, for this reason, I also suffer these things. You think that's a willingness to suffer, or do you just think that's talking about Paul? Could probably go either way. I felt like it was talking about Paul specifically, so I left it blank when I highlighted. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. What do you think? It's going to be green, right? We should not be ashamed of Jesus. We should know who he is, and we should believe and be persuaded. Persuaded what? That he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So I am persuaded that he is able to keep. Now, what I have committed is what I have done. But then I have to go in with blue because he is able to keep what I have committed until that day. All right? Okay, the next part there. Hold fast to the pattern of sound words. That is green. That is an example for us to follow. Which you heard from me, in faith and love which are in Jesus Christ. Blue. Faith and love in Jesus Christ should be in blue. That good thing, which I will tell you for the sake of this, because you won't have had the luxury to research it, is the gospel. So that gospel, which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit. What do we do with that? It's going to be a little bit of both, right? So let's do the green first, because he's telling us that good thing, keep. Now, it was committed to us by Jesus and by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So those two phrases should be in blue. 15, this you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom were those guys. Anything there? Examples to follow? Anything about Jesus? No. The Lord grant mercy to the household of that guy. Blue, the Lord grants mercy. That tells us something about God. Now, talking about this one guy, he has often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. What do you think? Green. That's an example for us to follow. We should be seeking out ways to refresh those that are suffering for Jesus, and we should not be ashamed of them. Okay, but when he arrived at Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. That second part, he sought me out and very zealously found me, should also be in green, because that tells us how to go about. We should be seeking them out, not just waiting for them to drop in our laps, but we should be saying, who's out there that I could be helping, that I could be refreshing, that I could be doing something for? Verse 18, the Lord grant to him that he might find mercy from the Lord on that day. What do you think? That's going to be blue. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me. That ministered to me, again, speaks of that example of ministering to those who are suffering for Christ. All right? So now you've highlighted. The next thing that you would do is you would go back through the text and you would circle any words you want to look at. So I'm curious, let's say, about the word apostle. So I would circle that. Don't think I can move down. I also think the word keep was interesting. If you see it before I do. Okay, verse 14. I'd like to look up keep. See what that means. And, oh, I also thought stir up was interesting. What does that really mean to do, to stir up that gift? So I'm going to go back and circle that. Now, of course, when you're doing this, you'll make those decisions. But for the sake of this, I'm going to decide. All right, so the next part that you would do is you would start entering all of these things that we just highlighted into our columns. So I generally do all the blue, and then I do all the green, okay? We're going to go back a little bit, because when I tried to do this on my own, I found that there was one verse, go back to the passage. It was from, can I have one of my leaders, that handout I gave you? I do not have a copy of that. Can somebody let me borrow it? If we'd run it up to me, I'd be appreciative. Okay, it started at verse, thank you, where it says, therefore, do not be ashamed. That's verse 8. You'll notice from verse 8 all the way down to verse 12, there is not one period. That is one long sentence. Now, Paul is a gifted writer, and gifted writers often give you lots of descriptions, and he does that a lot. So sometimes you can read it and be like, I'm not quite sure what the main point of this sentence is. So I have found that sometimes, if you're going to diagram a sentence, don't anybody pass out again, we're going back to English class, but if you're going to diagram a sentence, what's the first thing you do? You take out all the descriptive stuff and you find the noun, the verb, and the direct object so you know what we're looking for. So I use this technique to help me figure out sometimes what Paul is saying. Then I put all the descriptive stuff back and look at all the other amazing, inspired things that he wants me to learn. So we're going to cross some words out. I don't want you to panic. We are not taking away from Scripture. We are just getting a clearer view, and then we're going to add it all back in to get more information from it. Okay, and I want to just show you how to do this to help you. Now, let me give you an example so you understand what I'm saying. If I went to the grocery store and I wanted to tell you, I was at the grocery store and I ran into Christina, I might say, come up to you and be like, oh my gosh, Jamie, I went to Safeway yesterday. It was actually on Monday. And remember the day it was snowing so hard and the roads were terrible. And actually there were like 3 accidents along the way. But anyway, I had to go because I didn't have any milk. So I got there and I got up front and I was so surprised because they have the whole thing decorated. I've never seen a grocery store put Christmas lights on a grocery store before, but it was so beautiful and it inspired me. I'm going to go home and decorate at my house. But anyway, I went in the store. And did you know they have a $5 Friday? Like, you can get all sorts of things for $5 on Friday. But I just needed strawberries, so straight to the strawberries I headed. And I heard this voice that I recognized, and Mindy was there. Can you believe I ran into Mindy? What's the main point? I ran into Mindy, but I've told you so much more stuff. And Paul does that too. He gets excited. He says Jesus' name, and he has to talk about Jesus. He says, Jesus, who died for us and abolished death. And he gets so excited about Jesus that he gives us all of this great stuff. But sometimes we're like, wait, were we talking about the weather? Were we talking about the $5 Friday? So this technique will help you find the main point. Then we're going to go back and look at all the other good stuff he put in there. Every single word of Scripture is there for a purpose. Every single one. Okay? So hear me clearly. So what I would do if I was breaking this apart, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. That sounds pretty important. Nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Okay, he just veered. Did you see it? He started talking about God. So let's take that, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling out, not according to our works, but according to the purpose and grace which is given to us in Christ. Now he's talking about what? The holy calling. So if we take that part out, So in Christ Jesus before time began, all of that is about the holy calling, but has now been revealed. Okay, what's been revealed? This is what we're trying to get to the bottom of. So is he talking about this holy calling that's been revealed? I don't think so. Is he talking about this testimony of the Lord, which is the gospel, has been revealed? I think that's what he's talking about. So I'm going to leave that there. It's been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life. Did you see the veer again? He started talking about Jesus now. And the immortal light through the gospel, to which I was appointed. Now he's talking about the gospel. So he veered four times. Now if we go back and we read what we haven't crossed out, we are left with, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel, which has been revealed in the appearing of the Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, so now we know the main point is, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, which is the gospel, which was revealed in Jesus, and be willing to suffer for it. That's the main point. However, he had all this other amazing stuff to tell us, that God saved us, that he's called us with a holy calling, that he has given us grace, that he abolished death, that he brought life and immortality. All of those things are important. But when we go to write down our columns, we're going to have now a better understanding of how to write this down. What is my responsibility? Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Be willing to suffer. Okay, does that make sense to everybody? All right, good. Okay, so to our columns we go. Okay, you're going to just go down the scripture. And I don't know, is it right next in your notebook so you can see it? Oh, fabulous. Thank you, Jamie. Okay, when you go through it, you're going to go undo all the blue first. So click the, I'm clicking. Okay, there we go. So an apostle by the will of God. So I would write down something like, and one of the reasons I wanted to write down the definition of apostle was I wanted to see if it applied to me. Was he talking about that apostleship that had these requirements, or was he talking about being an apostle, like a messenger, to spread the word? So I would just put there, you can make it personal, makes me or makes us apostles. The next thing you find in blue, promises life in Jesus Christ. The next thing in blue, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So Gibbs. Now I will tell you, when I do this at home, I would say Gibbs, grace, Gibbs, mercy, Gibbs, peace, because I love to see the big old long blue column next to the short green column. It inspires me that I can offer myself as a living sacrifice every day because he has done so much for me. But because we're short on time, I'm going to put it all in one line today. So gives grace, mercy, and peace. Next would be, he is our Father. The next part there would be, he is our Lord. Then you'd skip down to verse 6. Gives us gifts to use. And then the next one has given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Okay, next would be, now when you look at that, according to the power of God, what was according to the power of God? Our ability to suffer. So I'm going to put here, gives us the power to suffer for the gospel. Next, in verse 9,
saves us and called us with a holy calling. The next one would be also in verse 9, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So you could go back up to called us with a holy calling, and you could put more information in there. That was, you could put a holy calling according to his grace that was given before time. Okay? Just for the sake of time, I'm not going to do that today. Now being revealed by the appearing of Jesus Christ our Savior, you could put that the gospel was revealed in Jesus. And then you also want to note that he is our Savior. Next would be he abolished death. And the next one would be brought life and immortality to light. The next would be he appoints us to a work. Now, we might not be preachers, but there's something, right? Then going down to verse 12. Keeps what we have committed to him. Then in verse 13, you have faith and love are in Jesus. The next one, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So you could have the Holy Spirit dwells in us, or just put dwells in us if you want. And helps us to keep the gospel. Now in verse 16 and verse 18, he grants mercy. I have a blank line. I'm not going to freak out about it. Okay, now we're going to go to the me column and plug in everything that was in the green. And I know I'm kind of going fast, but I'm watching the clock, so I apologize. So the first one is give thanks to God. The second one, remember other believers in prayer. I'm going to go down to verse 6. Stir up the gift of God in you. Verse 8, do not be ashamed of the gospel. Next, share in the sufferings for the gospel. Next would be know whom you have believed. And then be persuaded that he can keep what you commit to him. Next would be hold fast to sound words. Next would be keep that good thing. And you can put the gospel in there if you want to help yourself remember. Next, refresh those who are suffering for Jesus. Okay, and then seek them out, find them, and minister to them. Okay, I see some of you trying to take pictures. Let me do it. I'm going to put it up like this for you. Go ahead and take a photo if you want of the screen, and then I will move it up and you can take the next photo. There's the second half. Okay, so now that you've put everything into your columns, you're going to go back and look up your words, which we're not going to do in here because I don't have time. So your small group leaders will go over with you a couple of different ways to do that. We're going to go ahead and skip right to reading your columns. Now, I often read these columns out loud. They just impact me more when I do. I think there's power in the spoken word, and what you have written down here is the word of God, so say it out loud. So you'd read it like this. God, you make us apostles. You promise us life in Jesus. You give us grace and mercy and peace. You are our Father. You are our Christ and Lord, and you give us gifts to use for your service. You give us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind, and you give us the power to suffer for the gospel. You've saved us. You've called us with a holy calling according to your purpose before time even began. You've revealed the gospel with the appearing of Jesus. You've abolished death. You've brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, and you've appointed me to a work. I know that you are able to commit that you are able to keep what I have committed to you. There is faith and love in you, and you have committed this good thing to me by this Holy Spirit who dwells in me, and you grant mercy. So I will thank you. I will serve you. I will remember others in prayer. I will stir up the gifts you have given me. I will not be ashamed of the gospel. I will share in the sufferings for the gospel if necessary. I will share the gospel with others. For I know I will take the time to know who you are and who I have believed, and I will be persuaded that you can keep the things which I have committed to him. I will hold fast to sound words, and I will keep, guard, and protect the gospel. I will seek to refresh those who are suffering, and I will minister to them. Okay, so that's the bulk of it. We've taken this passage and we've kind of stripped out everything about God and how he's asking us to respond. And when I look at these lists, it really is what compels me. It compels me because look at what he's done. It compels me. Surely I can thank him and serve him. It seems so little in response to what he's done for me. So after you've read this, you would just think and pray and write your applications. You're going to go to your small groups now, and they're going to give you an opportunity to write an application from this passage. So good luck to you. Thanks for studying the Bible with me.